It's my pleasure this morning to introduce my mentor, my teacher, and my dear brother, Pastor Ted Wigglesworth. What a powerful support he has been for me. I love you, brother. I love you. You know, we all need guidance in our walk. We all need guidance from a mature man or woman that is schooled in Scripture and solid in the Holy Spirit. And I thank my brother so much for taking me kind of under his wing, if you will, and giving me opportunity to speak about Jesus to other people. So I'm sure that he's got a good message here for us this morning. I kind of overheard a conversation where he said it's kind of more like a lecture than a sermon. I don't know if I know of any Christian man that is as learned in history and all that kind of good stuff. I'm going to fall short of calling him a know-it-all. But he knows a lot of stuff. He knows a lot of stuff. So have at it, brother. God bless you.
Thank you. Testing. Hello. 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 I'm going to do something a little different than what I normally do because I'm going to take you on a journey to Sodom. As you well know, Sodom is a very well-known city within our scriptures. In fact, let me ask you a question. What city is most mentioned in the Bible? Jerusalem's mentioned 18 times. Sodom is mentioned 25 times. Sodom is found from Genesis right through to Revelation within our scripture, and is very significant. But what I want to do today is a little different in the sense that some of you don't know my background, but I have a degree in geography and anthropology from the University of British Columbia. When I graduated from McMaster University in 1969 with my theology degree, I received the award in history as the best history student for the 3 years I was at McMaster. So, I don't know about the woo-woo, but it was a lot of hard work. And lately, there's been a lot of really neat stuff happening from a historical point of view, from a geographical point of view, and from an archaeological point of view in showing that our scriptures are accurate and are true. So I want to go back to Genesis 12 to begin our story. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. In all the families of the earth, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your family offspring I will give you this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord and appeared to him. That's okay. I wanted to put this map on the wall to begin with. This is why this is a bit different, because I'm going to do some geography. Here is Ur of the Chaldees. When Abraham left there with his family, he traveled up over the crescent that is known, and he came down into this area of the Levant. As you can see from that, We have the Persian Sea here. We have the Red Sea here. We have the branches of the Red Sea that go up. This is known as the Rift Valley. And in here we have the what today is the Suez Canal. And we have the Mediterranean Ocean here. So the part we have, which is going to be the Levant, is a very small portion of the whole area. Going to the smaller portion, we have here the Dead Sea, and we have the Sea of Galilee. Here we have Bethel and Ai. This is the area that Abraham went to. And I do this to show you some of the fact that we've got mountain ranges here and mountain ranges here. The Dead Sea is about 1,300 feet below sea level. And in the time of Abraham, rose as much as 400 feet over a period of time. So the kind of thing we talk about today where we have climate change and all that sort of thing, it happened back then too. So it's not a new event in our world. So, now there was a famine in the land. And so Abraham went down to Egypt to reside there as an alien. And here we get into some very interesting story. Abraham was married, had a beautiful wife. He thought that the Pharaoh would see her as being beautiful, therefore put him to death and take his wife, because the Pharaoh was all powerful. So he said to the Pharaoh, "This is my sister." We have some very interesting characters in the Bible. But interestingly enough, as we look at this, we are given, if you look at the text, you see geographic information as you go along. And so I want us to read it not just for the stories that are taking place, but to take a look at the fact that as the stories are being told, places, directions, and where they're going and where they come from, all are there within the text. So these are not just stories that people are telling, but they're saying where they were, when they were there, and what they were doing. And which is very interesting, because not all literature at this time did that. And it makes the Bible a very interesting place to find information about where things are. And if we go there today, can we find them or not? And that's what part of this story is about. So he went down into Egypt, and that's okay. And then the Pharaoh finds out what's wrong, and he said, "Now, sir, here is your wife, take her and be gone." And the Pharaoh gave his men orders concerning him, and they set him on his way. So here he was in Egypt. And he goes back up into the Jordan Valley, okay? These are the boundaries of Israel today. And I show you that. When you hear people saying on the news, from the river to the sea, what are they saying? From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And to do that means we want to totally destroy Israel. In other words, to annihilate the whole of them. Well, I'm not saying whether it's going to happen or not, but that's what they're saying. Okay. I bring you back to this because we're going to come up into this area and we're going to talk about, this is the West Bank now. This is Gaza. So you see how small Gaza is by comparison to the whole thing. And when they talk about the Iron Dome in Israel, we're talking about having from the short range in Israel to the long range into Jerusalem right there, you're talking about 3 to 4 seconds for a rocket. So you're talking about having to have very, very elite type of electronic systems to measure the rocket taking off and being able to send another rocket to intercept it. Okay. So Abram went up from Egypt with his wife and all he had, and Lot was with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now, what we're hearing in that little passage is that Abraham was a man who herded sheep, but he did much more than herd sheep. If you look at the anthropology of the people of this time, you found that they came close to and grazed their sheep near the cities. The reason being that they provided milk and they provided meat for the cities. But besides that, and we will see this later on when we talk about the fact that Abraham had an army of 300 men, they provided the security for those cities. And the cities made a contract with them so that they would have that protection. So, and he went on a journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Remember, he came from Ur of the Chaldees and he came over to Bethel and Ai and he camped there and made an altar to the Lord. Okay? To the place of the altar which he had made at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abraham, who had flocks. So, here we are. They came down to Bethel and Ai, which is right here. For your interest's sake, Jericho is right here. Now, when it talks about the plain of the Jordan, the word in Hebrew is kikar. And kikar means a circle. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem today and you come to a traffic circle, it's called a kikar. And what they're talking about is this area in here, which is a fertile plain where the Jordan River comes down. And in the winter rains, it floods this area. And as the floods recede, they plant crops there. And we'll find in the scripture it says that this area was like the Garden of Eden, where a river flowed through it, and was like Egypt, where the river flows through and floods every year. Interesting that you get both. There's more than just the story if you look at this. There's actual geographic detail of what's happening. So, I put this here because on this map it shows Sodom and Gomorrah down here. And from the from the 1900s, people thought that that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was because it's a land that when you look at it, it looks like somewhere somebody has devastated it at some time. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Ah, okay. Now, when we got to Bethel and Ai, Abraham said, now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great, they could not dwell together. So we have Lot, the nephew of Abraham and Abraham, and they have become so wealthy, having so much in the way of animals and that sort of thing, that they're going to overrun the cropland and eat all the grasses there and starve if they don't separate from each other. Any of you who have been farmers know you can't put too many cattle on a piece of land for too long, or it wrecks it. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites that also dwelt in that land. So they're not there alone. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between me and you, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you. Whoops. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the Kikar, plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards. Then Lot chose for himself all the Kikar, the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. That's a very important thing. So you have to ask, where was Lot and Abraham standing when they made this agreement? And they looked east. And when they looked east, Abraham, they saw, what did I do here? I changed something. We went to Bethel and Ai. How did I get out of place? Oh, I see, I'm going the wrong way. Lot chose from all the plain and journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and part of it was missing. Cities of the plain and towards the city of Sodom. It's supposed to be there. Okay, so we look at this. We have Jericho here. Bethel and Ai, where they were standing, were sitting, was about here. By the way, Bethel is about 12 miles from Jerusalem. So it's not a large distance. So, and they went east. If you go east, this is the Jordan River. This is the area that was all agricultural land, some of the best watered land in the whole of the Middle East. And here we have Tel Hamon, which is what we believe, well, we know now is Sodom. Okay, so when you look east from here, it makes sense. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are northward. And this is where Abraham is told that all of the land that is on the west side of the Jordan River is going to be the land that he occupies and dwells in. So, Jordan River runs here. All this land down here is the land that is going to be given to Abraham. All the land on this side is part of Ammon and other places. So, okay? So, that's that part. Now, when we take a look at the stories of the city of Sodom, Sodom was a great city. All these people knew it was there. And we'll find out later when we look into the archaeology of it. After the destruction of Sodom, before the destruction of Sodom, we find that Sodom was a continuously occupied city for 6,000 years. They have pottery that they can trace back. Now, that's during the time when Nineveh and Babylonia were considered to be major cities. So you get an idea that we're not talking of something that was, I mean, what does 6,000 years mean to you? It's a long time. and it was a continuously occupied city. And from looking at it, there is no indication that it had ever been conquered or ever been wiped out by an invading army. And remember, we had those invading armies which were moving, and Egypt controlled much of the area for a long time. Babylonia controlled a lot of the area for a long time. We have all kinds of people, but this particular city was a large city, was well watered, and remember, if you don't have water, you don't have people. In fact, within the site of Sodom, there was hot and cold running water. Now, how would you have hot and cold running water at that time in history? Because it had springs. Hot springs and cold springs, both within the city, that ran all year round and provided the city with what they needed to be in existence. Not only that, there were about 17 springs in that whole area, and there were several other cities. We'll get to that. Now, we come on to the part where we're going to talk about what happens with the destruction of Sodom and why this happens. Two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of Sodom. Now, that simple phrase tells us a huge amount. You don't have a gateway unless you have a walled city. So, we know that it has a walled city. And we know that that city wall is large enough that it has a gateway. So that if anybody comes and tries to invade the city, the gate can be closed and they have protection. Okay? When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them. Oh, the other thing, his sitting in the gateway of the city means he was one of the elders of the city who was there to judge people who would come to have things like contracts signed, marriage contracts, land contracts, all kinds of other contracts. So he was one of the elders who sat there and acted as a judge to see that things were done in the right way and legally, okay? When Lot rose up to me, he bowed down his face to the ground and said, "Please, my lords, turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you can rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, we will spend the night in the square." This is a reconstruction of the gateway of Sodom after the excavation of Tel Haman was done. It's a very interesting gateway, and it's based on the fact that in the archaeology, all of this part is still there. The rest of it was destroyed within the destruction of Sodom. Here is a cutaway of that. And we see the entrance here, and we see the gateway. Interestingly enough, this is the only pillared gateway found in the Middle East. Which is interesting. Where would a pillared gateway come from? It comes from the Minoan civilization. Anybody heard of Minoa? Which was, some people say, the beginning of the Grecian culture. That makes real sense when we take a look at some of the other detail in the story that Lot is given about Lot. So, it was said that this part was 45 feet above the ground, and we have 1, 2, 3 on the top. People would come in. Well, let's go back one. People would be guided into this, and they could shoot arrows from all of these areas. They could put rocks down on them, pour boiling tar, etc. The glacis, or the the slope up to this, it was 35 degrees, made of mud brick, millions and millions of mud bricks. So you can see that this was not a small city. Okay, and this is looking at some of the excavation that was done. And I had to select stuff to make this fit in time. Okay, whoops. Where are we? Okay. Now the men went into Lot's house. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all of the people to the last man, surrounded the house. So we know that Lot was wealthy enough that he had his own house that had streets on all sides of it, or they wouldn't have been able to surround it. Okay? And they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them." That means that we may have sex with them. Now remember I told you what was that? We had the pillared gate. It was a Minoan gate. What was happening here in the story is very interesting. Here we have a culture that is based on what was happening in Minoa. In Minoa, every young man who was 12 years old was contracted to an older man and was under contract to be that man's slave and servant and sexual being until they were 20 years old. Every male of the society was, it was a pederastic society, to use a term that describes it. Now, that's an interesting thing. They went into the house, we also know that his house was big enough that they had kitchens in it, they baked bread and everything, and the bread they made would have been the flat bread in circles, a kikar. There is a picture of reconstruction of the city of Sodom. This is the lower part. This is the palace of the king. This whole area is 55 acres in size, 55 to 62 acres. The city of Jerusalem is 15 acres. So you begin to see the huge difference. This area here, the land around it where they grew, is about a quarter section, 160 acres. So those of you who have farms, you can put this into perspective, or have been on a farm, you can put it into perspective as to the size of it.